This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Sell time. Welcome back into the whole show. Powered by Chevron. We are live from the AloFiber studios. My poll question today is brought to you by Takedown KC. Who is more likely? So a lot of talk right now is being made about three parades. Broncos, Avalanche, and the Nuggets. Who's more likely to win it all this year? More likely. No. Michael's pointing at the Broncos emblem on his weird little Hawaiian shirt. 0% of the people on my X account have said that, have voted that the Broncos would be there. It's all Avalanche Nuggets, Mike.
Heathenist followers?
Well, not, why would you say that? Because they like the Nuggets and the Avalanche, the two other Colorado teams? Just because you're obsessed with the Broncos, like in a creepy, really, really disturbing... Maybe you should, you know, not get too close to their facilities kind of way. 56% say the Avalanche. 44% say the Nuggets. And 0% say the Broncos.
I'd say Broncos, then Avalanche, then Nuggets.
And that's why?
And then the Rockies will beat a college baseball team.
Why would the Broncos be the favorite? I'm asking why, Mike.
There's the Broncos.
But give me a reason. Good. And then give me a reason defense. Why the Avalanche over the Nuggets.
Start running the ball.
The Avalanche should start running the ball?
No, the Broncos should start running.
Well, they're not doing that. So that makes you pretty happy about the Broncos' chances when you have a head coach that knows what he should do, but he's not doing it on purpose to piss you off?
He'll start doing it.
You think so?
Just needs me to call him.
We are 10 games into the season, Michael. And the things he vowed to fix, like running the ball and the penalties... 10 weeks later, still the same thing. So with less than half of the season to go, you believe that suddenly he's going to wake up one day and go, you know what? Let me do what everybody's been talking to me about doing. No, I think he's going to fight harder against that. I wonder if he will. Because he hears us talking about it, and the more we talk about it, the more he doesn't want to conform.
Well, as you know, Brady, he listens to the whole show.
Oh, I know he does. I've heard that from a few of my little birdies out there.
Yeah, and literally he gets it from 1310kfk.com. You could also get it from Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
You can listen to the podcast anytime, anywhere.
You've got some evidence that you're going to share.
Okay, yeah, and that was my only buy or sell today. Because I was going to ask you buy or sell Cordell Stewart, but you're not in on that.
I don't think anyone's in on
that. Are you in on the idea of someone like that, though? Buy or sell someone like that.
Sell.
Splashy. Namey.
Sell.
Popularity.
Sell.
So you just want to keep doing the same old thing. Just go get a young and up-and-coming coordinator, and they're either, in one instance, like Jim McElwain, they're either really good, and then they go bye-bye, or for, you know, the norm around here has been, you know, let's go get a fired head coach or a up-and-comer coordinator and watch this thing go south. You want to just keep doing that?
Or get a splashy name and watch it fail.
Have they ever done it before? Have they ever went out and got a splashy hire like this for their head coaching job? I mean, Jim McElwain wasn't splashy. He was an offensive coordinator for Alabama. Mike Bobo wasn't splashy. He was an offensive coordinator for Georgia. Steve Adazio wasn't splashy. He was a fired head coach from, Oh, boy. Was it Boston College?
I believe it was Boston.
Boston? Boston College? Is that where it was? Boston?
Boston.
Boston. Yeah. None of those are really... I mean, hell, UNC won the day Steve Adazio gave his press conference. the Bears announced that Ed McCaffrey was going to be the next hire. Now, I'm hearing a lot of people are like, doing something like this, you know, hiring a guy that doesn't have any real college experience and none at the coaching would be a lot like hiring Ed McCaffrey. And I just push back on that one a little bit because, to my knowledge, Ed McCaffrey was not putting in a resume for the UNC job. He was not after that. It was a conversation that was supposed to go one way, and then it turned into a, why don't you just take it?
I believe that's how the story goes.
So it's a little different. I don't know that McCaffrey was ready to buy in all the way to not just the University of Northern Colorado, but Greeley. And to be a college coach, Mike, you have to, like NFL coaches, sure, they say, I love Denver, and they say all the right things about the city. But what is really asked of a head coach at the college level is that you immerse yourself. And Jay Norvell did that. You know, you become a Fort Collins person. You become a Greeley person. So obviously, whoever that is, that should go without saying, but you better say it. This is not just about football. This is about raising money. This is about meeting people. This is about getting out and about in the public. This is about attending other sporting events that go on throughout the college. Things like that. But, Mike, you bring it up. I did my little research here. Not really that difficult. It's just time-consuming. The Broncos-Raiders game is still kind of just sticking out to me because it could have been so much better. The Broncos had, 13 possessions in this game against the Raiders. They had 7 three and outs, 2 drive-ending interceptions, 1 drive-ending missed field goal, 2 holding calls, 3 false starts, and 2 offensive, was it 4? Maybe 3 offensive pass interference calls on their receivers.
I don't like that. I don't like
not,
that.
9 penalties on offense. They had 11 penalties in this game. 2 of them were either defense or special teams.
Hey, you fixed the defense, though.
Yeah, defensively, you're not committing a lot of penalties, and you're not committing a lot of penalties on special teams, at least in this game. But there's a common theme here. The drives that have penalties in them, or the drives that don't involve J.K. Dobbins, typically go south. Now, there are exceptions to this. For example, This is an example of Sean Payton saying, I'm flipping the finger off. You guys say I don't run J.K. Dobbins? How about the first possession of this game, Mike? We ran it 3 times in a row and then punted it. First down on the first possession for the Broncos was a 6-yard run by J.K. Dobbins. So it is now 2nd and 4. Second down, a 2-yard run by J.K. Dobbins. Third down, a 1-yard run by J.K. Dobbins. And you punted. Second possession of the game. Well, that didn't work. Mike, you know what we're going to do? You know what we're going to do the second possession?
Run the ball.
The complete opposite of what we did in the first because we needed 10 and he only got 9. Second possession. First down. 6-yard pass. Second down. Sack. Third down. Incomplete. Punt.
Well, that didn't work. Maybe
3 and out.
Maybe they should go back to the run.
Only had 2 possessions in the first quarter. In the second quarter, on your third possession, first down, a 10-yard penalty to start things off by the 41-year-old tight end Mercedes Lewis. So now you're starting 1st and 20. So what do you do next? Hey, it worked kind of in that first possession. R.J. Harvey, your time to shine. Go get him. 1st down and 20, 4-yard run by R.J. Harvey. 2nd down, incomplete pass. 3rd down, did throw a 13-yard pass. It is, at that point it would have been 3rd and 1. And we know what happened on 3rd and 1 on that possession, Mike. That was the Cortland Sutton thing that happened instead of running the ball. But you didn't even have J.K. Dobbins in. You had R.J. Harvey in, who I do want to see more of. But I don't like the whole, well, this is your series and this is your series. Denver did have a delay of game on the punt, but just to get a better punt. In the 4th possession for the Broncos, 2nd quarter, down 7 at this point, you had a 7-yard pass on 1st down and then a 2-yard pass on 2nd down. 3rd down, incomplete. Keep this in mind, folks. It is the mid-2nd quarter, getting to late 2nd quarter now. We have not seen J.K. Dobbins run the ball until when, Mike? First possession of the game. He ran it 3 in a row. We have now gone 1, 2, 3 possessions without running the ball to J.K. Dobbins.
But Brady, as you said earlier, it didn't work. So clearly they have to stop running the ball and just throw it the entire time, which is not working.
So they go three and out on that possession. Their next possession, which would be their fifth possession, you started at the midfield, had a good punt situation, started at midfield. First down, 13-yard run by J.K. Dobbins. First down, holding Adam Trautman. So you got the first down, but then a holding call. First down again, still first, now first and 20, 2-yard pass. Then you had the second down play, which was the 43-yard pass to Pat Bryant. First down now, 2-yard run by Harvey. Second down, 7-yard touchdown pass to Franklin. So you get a nice run by JK. You got a holding, unfortunately, but then you connected on one of those deep passes. Okay, cool. We finally saw J.K. Dobbins back in the mix since the first possession of the first quarter. We're now late in the second quarter, sixth possession, 2 minutes left, first down, incomplete pass, second down, 7-yard pass, third down, offensive pass interference on Pat Bryant. But then on that next, the real third down play, the do-over after that, you had a 14-yard pass by Bo Nix, first down, false start by Mike McGlinchey, first down, incomplete, second down was an interception. Theme on this one, no J.K. Dobbins and two penalties. Third quarter, seventh possession. First down, Mercedes Lewis, false start. First and 5, 3-yard run by J.K. Second down, incomplete pass. Third down, incomplete pass. Punt the ball. The arguably the best drive of the game without a big, gigantic play. And I'm going to see if you can catch the theme in this one, Mike. I'm testing you here, so pay attention. Third quarter, eighth possession. This led to a missed field goal, but it was arguably your best drive of the game. First down, 7-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Second down, 2nd-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Third down, 1-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. First down, 13-yard pass. Nice. First down, 7-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Second down, 2-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Third down, 7-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. First down, 7-yard pass. Second down, false start. Second down again, 7-yard run. Harvey, third down, sack, missed field goal. What is the theme of that most successful drive that ended up with a missed field goal?
Well, the Broncos were wearing their orange uniforms. Also, J.K. Dobbins.
J.K. Dobbins. Of his 18 carries, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 carries on that drive. Third quarter, after an interception that the Broncos got, this would be the ninth interception or the ninth possession for the Broncos. First down, you get 0 yards on the run to J.K. Dobbins. Second down, 10-yard penalty, offensive pass interference by Troy Franklin. Second down, 2-yard run by J.K. Dobbins. Third down, a 2-yard pass, and then a punt from the Broncos. So another punt there. We get too late in the third quarter after the blocked punt the Broncos had. And this was not great either. First down was a 2-yard run by Bo Nix. Bo Nix, everyone. Not J.K. Dobbins. Second down, incomplete pass. Third down, 0-yard pass. Fourth down, field goal. You've got great field position. And J.K. Dobbins has been running pretty well. But you just don't use him the right way. Fourth quarter, 11th possession. Broncos get the ball. First down, 4-yard pass. Second down, incomplete. Third down, incomplete. Punt. Still in the fourth quarter. 12th possession. First down, 5-yard pass. Second down, 0-yard run by R.J. Harvey. Third down, interception. The Raiders got the ball, went down the field, missed the field goal. Broncos have decent field position, can try to run it out. And what is the theme of this possession, Michael? First down, 8-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Second down, 1-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Third down, 18-yard pass to Franklin. First down, penalty on the Raiders in this case. First down again, first and 5, 4-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Second down, 0-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Third down, 1-yard run, Bo. First down, 7-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Second down, 5-yard run, J.K. Dobbins. Kneel down, win the football game. 7 3-and-outs. 2 drive-ending interceptions, 2 holding calls, 3 false starts, and 2 offensive pass interference, offensive pass interferences, interference calls.
Clean up, run the ball.
Clean up the penalties and run J.K. Dobbins consistently. Not let's give him three carries right off the bat and never call his name for nearly the rest of the first half. And then, oh, we got two good possessions. Let's give him a heavy dose of J.K. Dobbins. And then the rest of the game, let's go away from him again. Those 18 carries, he basically got, Mike, he got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those carries in the final possession of the game. And then the other 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 12 of his 18 carries, Michael, 12 of his 18 carries came on two possessions. And three of those were in the first quarter when you ran it three times in a row. You see a mix, though. J.K. Dobbins, first down, 6-yard run. How about a pass on second down? How about a little play action right there? Nope, 2-yard run, then a 1-yard run. You have to have a healthy combination of passing the ball with your hot hand running back. And that's just not what we're seeing. That's frustrating to me. And when you actually take the time to write it out, Michael, like I did this morning, you see how freaking obvious it is and how disappointing this is right now. I'm going to keep this. My chicken scratch handwriting, nobody can read but me. I'm going to keep this. And I'm going to compare the notes to how they do it against Kansas City. Because if they beat Kansas City, what we need to see is more from the eighth possession and eighth possession. What we saw in the eighth possession. I'm not saying we need to run it that much with JK, but it was a good mix because it set up a 13-yard pass and you can move down the field. He can run consistently. You don't want him to get hurt. I understand that. But it's not like we're seeing RJ Harvey really mixed in much at all here.
I think that he's playing 5D chess and we're 8-2 because of it.
He's playing checkers. He is playing checkers. He's playing Connect Four. Not playing Connect Four. Connect Four would be too simple. Just Connect Four. He needs to go back to playing Connect Four. It's that simple. 22 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. Powered by Chevron. Eastside Chris says, how about $5,000 pay penalty per dumb infraction. Proceeds go to the Micah K Fund. Faith says, I would vote for the Avs. Probably the Avs, I think. Colahoma says, I think you sound like Billy Bob Thornton when he was 26. Do I sound like Billy Bob Thornton when he was 26? Doesn't he have an accent?
He's from Texas, I think.
HVAC guy texting earlier from this. Like Jerry Schimmel for the Rockies, Dave Logan is a wise choice. For CSU, they know the game better than most. It doesn't work that way, though. It just doesn't. Texter, I mean, come on, man. Logan has studied football and won at football longer than most candidates have known how to spell football. It's not necessarily a good thing.
I hate to be ageist, but he is 71.
And we're talking kids and NIL and dollars and all this stuff, man. The bag. Give him that bag. You maybe not like it, but that's the way of the world. That's the way of college football. I don't think bringing a 70-year-old guy that's never been at the college level would necessarily be a good thing.
I think when UNC was looking for a head coach 10, 15 years ago, Dave Logan's name was floated.
Yeah.
That, I thought, yeah. not bad. A bad idea.
Makes different world, right?
Exactly.
Different world. 23 minutes after the hour, Brian Howell's going to join us. He said he has two candidates. Former CU guys that make sense for CSU. And I wrote him back, of course, and I said, if those names are not Slash and Cordell Stewart, I don't know what we're talking about. So we'll see what we're talking about coming up very soon. It's the whole show. We're powered by Chevron, and we're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. And that's Michael Kirkpatrick, and I'm Brady Holm. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Brian Gary, Tanner Schwintz. Good Morning NoCo is on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name. when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Mike, I told you, we can't screw around. You're back there acting like you're playing in a band.
But I like Creedence Clearwater Revival
can't screw around.
And Little Richard.
We can't screw around. 29 after the hour. Brian Howell's going to join me next. He's going to have a real conversation about this whole Cordell Stewart thing. Let's talk to him here in just a moment. But first, Mike, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFK.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Shout out to Big City Roadhouse, Big City Flavor, Roadhouse Comfort. You guys try the tavern-style pizza. You will not be let down, I promise you. It's a great environment there. If you guys remember where the cables, I say the old cables, it wasn't that long ago, but where the cables location was, Big City Roadhouse took over. And they are doing some awesome things there. So tell them we sent you here from The Whole Show. They've got a full bar with creative cocktails and a curated selection of margaritas, including margarita flights made with fresh lime juice and agave nectar, plus a great selection of beers on tap. That's, again, Big City Roadhouse. We here at the station, we are Big City Roadhouse people. We love that place. And so we suggest you guys do the same. Try it out if you haven't done so. Just yet. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Okay, so Jocena Anderson, former ESPN anchor personality, I guess, she had tweeted out something, you know, about Cordell Stewart and, you know, what it would look like. You know, he's hiring an agency to look for college jobs. This is the Post. I'm told former Steelers quarterback, QB, and Colorado Hall of Famer Cordell Stewart has retained Young Money APAA Sports for his representation as he pursues a collegiate head coaching opportunity. Sources say there's interest in the open Colorado State job. And again, yes, I know it's easy enough to just find a reporter. Like, I could text Brian Howell right now and say, hey, Brian, I'm interested in being the offensive coordinator for Coach Prime. And if Brian wanted to, he could throw that out there, and my name would be all over the world. I doubt Brian would do that. Brian Howell, what do you think, man? Do me a solid, get my name out there and connect it with CU?
Sure, why not? I tell you what, there's a lot of things I'm interested in that I could, you know, throw out there, and we'll see if it happens. But, you know, you got to have interest on both sides. And, yeah, there's a lot of things we'd all be interested in, right?
Yeah, and it's easy to throw that out there. And it makes for great clicks. It makes for a fun conversation. I don't know. I've had fun talking about it. I was a diehard Cordell Stewart fan. In fact, as I was texting you, Brian, I picked up my book that I keep in my office, 100 Things Colorado Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, and page number 148, chapter 43, features all things Cordell Stewart. So, he's a legend. He's a Buffs legend, and Mr. Brian Howell wrote all about him. I just think it's an interesting idea. He doesn't have a coaching background, but if you can surround yourself with good enough people, who knows? But no, I don't think CSU would necessarily be the starter for Cordell Stewart.
No, and I love Cordell. He was fantastic as a player. I always enjoy talking to him, but if you're CSU and you're moving into the Pac-12 conference, you need somebody that's coached, right? that has a little bit of experience. And, I admire Cordell for wanting to get into coaching, but I don't think he just jump right into an FBS job, you know, as a head guy. Hopefully if that's what he wants to do, you know, get into coaching, go find somewhere where you can get hired as a position coach or something and work your way up.
So how, like, I was texting you this, and I think the Jocena Anderson was the first any of us have heard of this. Is that even, like, 0.001? Is there a 0.001% chance that Cordell's guys are going to reach out to CSU and they would entertain at least a conversation?
I think there's a very high percentage chance they would reach out. It's probably a very low percentage that they would actually seriously consider it, I would think. I mean, I don't know why CSU would be interested, to be honest with you. You know CSU better than I do, but I don't understand. I don't see why any FBS team would really be interested unless he's coming in with a plan that says, you know what, I got James Franklin as my OC,
mm-hmm.
I got Nick Saban as my DC.
Now we're getting there.
You know, and now I got all these guys you've heard of, and I'm the CEO. Then yeah, okay.
See, but okay, so. And if I let my brain kind of go there, which again, the listeners have just been shredding me today, but if I let my brain kind of go there, I go with, for CSU, it's like, why hasn't it worked? Whatever they've done, they've hired the up and coming OC. They've hired the up and coming twice. They did it with Alabama. They did it with Georgia and Mike Bobo. Then they hired the fired Boston College guy in Steve Adazio. And then they hired the up and coming, well, not really up and coming, but a good head coach in Nevada, and that didn't work. And he's supposed to come in with this air raid idea and float out all this craziness, and that didn't work either. So I guess the crazy Lord of the Rings fantasy side of my brain is like, you've tried all that stuff. What if you just go crazy here? And then, of course, I'm told I'm crazy, and then I shut down.
Well, you know what you sound like is you're describing Colorado. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, look, they hired the up-and-comer in Dan Hawkins. They, you know, they hired the former Buff and NFL guy and John Embry. They hired another up-and-comer in Mike McIntyre, and then the coordinator from Georgia and Mel Tucker, you know, and none of it worked out. And so what'd they do? Let's just go crazy and do the unusual and hire Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
And, but the difference is that, you know, Deion Sanders at least had been a college coach at Jackson State, had turned that around, and he had a couple guys named Shadur and Travis Hunter that he could bring with him. So that's a little bit different than the Cordell situation, but I don't think CSU's quite in that desperate a situation, in my opinion.
Brian, here, quick question. I should know, that does Cordell Stewart have any children?
He does. He actually had a son that that walked on briefly at Colorado a couple years ago. I think he was a corner. I can't remember. But he does have kids.
Do any of them have any eligibility left? I mean, I'm just saying, we could find another, you know, coach to son quarterback situation here.
I don't think it's going to be quite Coach Prime and Shador. That's what you're going for.
That's what I, in this perfect weird little world that I've created, Ryan, that is where my head is going on all of this. But, you know, and again, I 100% like all this idea of the splash hire. Coach Prime, yes, was a splash hire, but what you just said was he went to Jackson State. He learned how to be a coach, whatever type of coach he ends up being. He learned it there first, and then he brought it to CU. That would be the major difference when you're talking about any of these big name guys. I mean, I'm hearing tons of random guys that never coached at the college level. But that is the kind of difference there, is Coach Prime did have that beginning process where he could get a real feel for how college football business is done and then brought it to CU.
Yeah, and he had also coached in high school for years before that.
True.
Which, you know, as a high school coach, you're dealing with some college coaches as far as recruiting and things like that. So he's way ahead of the game from where Cordell is right now. So I think there's a very, very big difference in those two situations. And, you know, and even with all that, I mean, look at Coach Prime right now. He's 3-7, and they're trying to get this thing back on the rails a little bit. So, you know, there's a lot of people that say that hasn't worked out either. So I think CSU's got to go with somebody with more experience.
You texted me as we were going back and forth about this, and you said, hey, I'm going to give you two legit names on former Buff side of things that CSU should consider. Are we willing to give me those names today, Brian?
Yeah. There's two guys that I would say, I don't know if CSU would consider them, but actual legit candidates that did play for Colorado. One of them is Darren Shiverini.
Yes.
Who was the offensive coordinator here. He got ushered out of here with Carl Durrell, things like that. But since then, you know, he went on Chaffey College as a junior college. Chaffey, it was 2-18. The 2 years before he got there, he goes 11-0 in his 1 year at Chaffey. And so then last year he gets hired at Northeastern State in Oklahoma. Northeastern State was 7-70 in the 7 years before Chev got there. They're 7-3 this year, his second year.
Mm, Wow.
So wow. He's a guy that, you know, he's got, you know, he was at UCLA, he was at Texas Tech, you know, so he's got some experience, not only rebuilding a program, he's got experience, you know, a lot of experience at the college level and the FBS and Power Four level. So that's one name I would throw out.
That's a very interesting name, Brian. Well done. That has me intrigued, to say the least.
And I'll tell you this, from my sources, he would be interested.
Wow. So, okay. Well, Brian just bringing straight up real thunder to the show today. I love this.
And here's another one. I don't know if this.
Do we lose you, Brian? Micah, get him back on. He's got another name. Quickly. Michael, hurry, 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 hurry. Darren Cheverini. That would be interesting. And Brian's saying, according to his sources, if that was the guy they'd contact, would be interested. That's fascinating, and what he's done to turn some of these schools around, and what he did with Shafi, 11-0, and then Northeastern State, as he said. There are now, what did he say, 7-3 during his time there. That's a legitimate name. That's a legitimate one. Can't get him, Mike. He's got one more name to throw out. We got to get the name here. Come on. Get the triangulation working here. You're gonna try it again?
I'm trying. I'm putting up the rabbit ears.
Man, that was a good name. I'm curious to see what the next name is that he's gonna say. Faith says this Cordell Stewart vortex you've created, Brady, seems more interesting the more you talk about it. LOL, not likely, but interesting. Listen, if he can find the right kind of coordinators to surround himself with, does it matter that he doesn't have coaching experience, or can he just? Does he have a big enough name and strong enough connections to make a push here? It's just fascinating to me. Brian said he could hear us, Mike, but we lost him. So keep trying.
I think Wyoming has sabotaged him.
Because they knew who... Oh, there he is. Do you think CU got wind that Brian's trying to... CU got wind that Brian's trying to give some good ideas for CSU's coaching staff, and so they cut the cord there, do you think?
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened.
Is he on now?
He is.
Brian Howell back on. You were about to give us this second name, Brian. I'm like, talk about hanging at the edge of my seat here.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let's see if we can get this other one out there. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. The other one I got for you is Ryan Walters.
Yes.
Who is currently the defensive coordinator at Washington. And had been the head coach of Purdue. He was a failed head coach at Purdue, but it was his first time as a head coach. And but he's got a lot of experience and successful experience as a defensive coordinator at Missouri and Illinois and Washington. So
fascinating. Yes, those are okay. I got two names to write down that we're really going to be cooking on here, Brian. Those are.
And I tell you, I like the guy that's been a head coach and he's failed the one time. And give him another shot. Let's see what he's learned from that one experience.
Yeah, no, I that's intriguing. Those are both really. Michael's back there shaking his head because he's a Washington fan. He thinks, "Leave us alone, Brian. Leave us alone." Is what?
Yes, leave my defense alone.
Leave him alone.
Hey, yeah. As long as the Huskies are playing good defense, he's going to be a name somewhere. So
yes, yeah, absolutely.
Washington's playing terrible defense, Nation.
There we go, Brian.
All farce.
Great job by you, man. And hey, I'm still waiting on the second edition of the 100 Things Colorado Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, but the Coach Prime edition. Because I'm guessing that's going to fill easily 100 or maybe 200 points in a book. Now, we lost him again, Mike. Well, we got the names. We got the names out there, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. Darren Cheverini, who was with Colorado for a bit, and now he's climbing up that ladder, Mike. And then your guy, Ryan Walters, how cool would that be? You would actually be invested in Colorado State. How about that?
Well, my niece goes to Colorado State, so I'm kind of invested in Colorado
State. Doesn't sound like you are. You don't sound like that. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn today? We learned a lot. We learned a lot of stuff today, and we're going to get to that on the other side. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Yeah. hear college football, the NFL, and the Broncos on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Mike, you know what? I just learned something right now.
I just saw your face and I don't like it. Is it about the Broncos?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, posting J.K. Dobbins going on IR. Could be a brutal blow for the Broncos. We don't know this for sure. But Chris Thomason, covering the Broncos for the Denver Gazette, tweeted out, "I'm told the Broncos are considering what to do with running back J.K. Dobbins and his foot injury. I was told placing him on injured reserve is being considered."
Well, it looks like we're going to have a lot of drives without J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say we learned today, was what not to do if you're the Broncos. This is why we should have seen more R.J. Harvey. When we had the chance to see more of RJ Harvey, Mike. It's bad timing. We'll see. We'll hold out hope. But that's a blow, man. We had such a fun show today to end it like that. That is a bummer of a way to end this thing.
I'm so depressed now.
What did you learn today?
Well, it's Cordell not about Stewart. Me. What did the listeners learn? The listeners learned when I'm under pressure. When suddenly something is thrown my way, I default to death metal.
Yeah, that was weird. I just kind of let that carry out. Just wanted to see what happened. Sometimes you just want to see things burn. And in that moment, I did to finish the second hour of the show.
Yeah, you saw me on fire. Yeah, and I was like,
all the J.K. Dobbins stuff is whatever, because if he's not able to play, then everything I've been pointing out, I spent hours working on, doesn't matter. Broncos cut down on the penalties. That would sure help. We learned that they need to cut down on the penalties. They are tied with Jacksonville for the most penalties in the NFL. So I got to get that down.
Somehow. Go RJ.
Somehow, some way. Brian Howell had some interesting candidates. Go back and listen to the podcast, Mike.
And 1310 KFK. Words.
There we go. That's perfect. Good enough for me. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.